My name is Kyle C, and today on the extended version of The Stoop, we talk about power. So it's been more than a week now. I've given you a long enough buffer to watch the season finale and be able to discuss it without having to set off the spoiler alert alarm systems. So if you haven't watched it yet, shame on you. It's your fault. I've invited friends of the podcast, Sean and Headley, to discuss the season finale, plus our thoughts on the season overall, and our predictions for season 4. It's The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. A great poet once said, and I quote, that they say that this is a big rich town, and that I just come from the poorest part. Who knew? Shit. Those bright lights, city life,
they say this is a big rich town. I just come from the poorest part. Bright lights, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down. I just happen to come up hard. Legal or illegal, baby, I gotta make it.
I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live, I learn. I'm from that city full of yellow cabs and skyscrapers. It's hard to get a start in these parts without paper. Homie, I grew up in hell, a block away from heaven. That corner ate 15 minutes and move at 7. Pure snow, bag it, then watch it go. Occupational options, get some blow or some
home. Sean Headley, what's going on? What up? Welcome to The Stoop. What's up?
Yes, sir. Hey, what's good? Yo, on the real, who sings that hook, do you know?
It's Joe.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's Joe for real?
Yeah, that's Joe, man.
Wow. Oh, shoot, I had no idea.
Yeah, Joe and 50 Cent, they had this connection for a long time, man. They've been putting a lot of music out for the last, like, shoot, probably since G-Unit blew up.
Man, but it kind of shows how irrelevant Joe is. If they got him singing the hook and they never even mentioned it was Joe, like they never showed.
No, like, what kind of research did you do to find that out?
It's gotta be in the credits. Plus, I listen to Joe, so I know Joe's voice.
Couldn't do a cameo.
Calvin. So you basing this on Joe just because of how you listen to it?
Yeah, I know Joe's voice. That's Joe.
Okay, I'm gonna Google this.
Go ahead, Eddie. Waste your time and Google it. Go ahead. It's Joe, but. Anyways,
y'all continue the show while I Google this.
while Headley's researching on The Stoop there for a fact there.
Yo, but Sean, you hear me? Like, I know Joe's voice.
So let me get this straight. So you don't know when somebody starts rapping. Like if Jay-Z starts rapping, you don't go, oh, who's that new guy? Let me go hear it out.
I ain't recognized no man's voice from 90s R&B that easily, I'll tell you that much.
Listen, first of all, pause. Number two, I listen to R&B, man. Leave me alone. I listen to R&B. I know voices. I know some of the female ones, too. Not all, but anyways, it's Joe. But, you know, that was the season finale. You know, we went through the season finale of season 3 of Power. I want to get your thoughts on this, first of all, Sean. What were your thoughts on the season finale so far?
To be honest with you, I was kind of expecting it to be garbage because I had heard and seen on blogs, and like I tried to steer clear of any spoilers, but I had heard that it was garbage, that it was disappointing in the season finale. So I kind of went in with low expectations, so maybe that might be why I kind of was pretty entertained by it. I mean, there was a flurry of kind of dumb, inconsistent, like, you know, parts of the plot and whatnot in certain areas, you know, there were holes and I was rolling my eyes somewhat, but I mean, all in all, I gotta say, I was pretty impressed.
Okay, I'll say this, here are some of my flaws, because I wouldn't say I wasn't feeling it, but I expected a little more, actually, to be honest. And I thought they just kind of did the thing where they, you know, where some shows when they end, or like when a movie's about to end, they just tie up all the loose ends real quickly. Like, yeah. I thought that's what the season 3 was about. So first of all, and I think that these three flaws kind of ruined it for me in that sense. Yeah. Number one, Greg Knox is an idiot. I mean, once you find out that Mike Sandoval is the Lobos leak, why not just go ahead with continue to go ahead with the story that Angela's the leak and then just arrest him when he gets to the office the next day? You know what I mean? Instead of saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to take you down right down and then turn your back on him. Like, it's, like I thought that was so stupid.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. A grown man. You're telling a grown man you're about to take his freedom.
And then when he pulls a gun on you, you're like, whoa, whoa, yeah. Hey, whoa, wait, oh, hey, I wasn't expecting this. You're taking this too far. You know?
Only thing dumber would have been like, can you hold my handcuff, my gun while I get the handcuff? Yeah. You know, that'd be the only thing that's stupider than that.
And
I gotta admit, when I saw that was one of the instances I rolled my eyes, like, give me a break.
Yeah, like, you figured out the leak, and I'm thinking, like, you know what, the way this show is, I'm like, he's probably just gonna go along with the story, you know what I mean, and then just take him down the next day, and then as he starts talking, you're the leak, and I'm like, come on, man, like, are you serious? It was so...
You know what, though? That part of it, though, I didn't mourn Greg's death too much, because that is a perfect example of what happens when you're over-motivated by vagina, because you realize he died because of vagina. Yeah. That's the only reason why he died.
Like Sean in season 2.
But you know what? Let me get back for a second. Yo, Calvin, you're right. It is Joe, so congratulations.
I didn't need congratulations, but go on.
But kind of what Calvin said, he hit it on the nail. How it was going, I felt in some ways this was quasi their best season to date, because there was a lot of stuff that happened in this season where I'm like, you know what, people who weren't getting on Power from before better need to catch on to this show now.
What?
And then as you didn't think so?
No, actually that's why I found the season finale was good, because I thought the show was garbage this season. Like, I was so bored by the plot twist. I was just so bored by so much of it, man. Like, so much of it, I was like, okay, give me a break, man. You know,
I found season 2 finale was off the chain, and then season 3, including the death of Holly and all that stuff, I was like, yo, they're spinning off fire right now. And then how season 3 ended, as Calvin said, I felt like it was a rush job. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it kind of did.
You had all this foreplay, and then it was like, damn, it's finished already?
You know what, though? Okay, don't get me wrong. Calvin, I'll let you finish your two other points, because I think I might have misled you guys. There was a bunch of ridiculousness in this episode that I'll get to. But the entertainment value was higher than I thought. But
okay,
there were so many parts I was like, oh, come on, give me a break. Or it didn't add up. It didn't make sense. You know, but anyway, I'll let you get to your two other points.
Yeah.
When you talk about Greg, I also felt like that was so stupid. Who does that? When you know that you finally had nailed who the leak is, you're not going to go confront the leak by yourself like that.
Of course.
I mean, that was idiotic. But to say that he was ruled by the pussy, not at all, man.
Yo, of course he was.
Ready, no, what are you talking about? He was ready to bring down the chick that he was smashing the for the later part of
yeah, because
yeah, because
he
you,
smashed
you, because he was angry, because that was like the revenge anger from getting the
snatch taken away from him before. Nah. He wanted to bring her down because he thought that she was guilty.
Hold on, Headley. Think if she never left him for Ghost, she would be guilty and he would have still had that same dedication to bringing her to justice?
That's not the question. You're right. He was probably motivated from that. But you're saying that he stopped being motivated to do that because he was smashing her again.
No, that was his soul. Okay, that was his soul. His sole driving motivation was revenge. Don't forget, he wanted Ghost. Even when the whole Luis thing and stuff happened, he's like, I want Ghost. Yeah. Why did he want Ghost? Because Ghost stuck his penis in his girl. That's why he wanted Ghost.
That's not what I'm disagreeing with. What I'm disagreeing with what you guys are saying is that he was smashing her, and he still didn't want to get her. Didn't want to bring her down.
Because it was too late, man. It was too late. He was already invested, and he already had made up his mind. He wanted revenge on Ghost, and he couldn't believe that, you know, she left him for Ghost, who he thought was implicated in this.
Yeah,
whole
but the thing is, he wanted Ghost down, but he was willing to take her down in the process if he had to.
Because
he
thought
didn't
she
care.
Was implicated.
He was going to take her down.
So,
Don't forget, he got shot and almost got killed because he thought it was Ghost. If he thought it was her, too, of course he was going to bring her down.
Okay, but hold on. He thought she was implicated in it. So it wasn't only the fact that he left. So this girl left me, is what Greg's thinking. Left me for another dude. Turns out to be the dude we're trying to get in the first place. And she's in cahoots with him? Yo, he wanted to take them both down because he felt betrayed.
That's my whole point, I'm saying. And he was willing to still do that, even smashing it again while he was sneaking into her purse and sneaking it into the phone and all that stuff. Regardless, he still wanted to take her down.
Yeah, okay. But it was for getting revenge for the betrayal, man. The betrayal all started with him losing access to the Pum Pum, Headley.
What you just finished saying is that when he found out it was Mike, he was willing to take down Mike because Mike was the leak, and that's the reason why he was like, you know what, she might be dirty or she might have done some wrong things, but in this case, she's innocent. If he's still hell bent on revenge, he would have been like, screw this, I'll take her down regardless.
Okay, but well, guys, hold on. Let's move on a little bit from. I don't want to focus this much on Greg. You know,
yeah.
Both points are good. I agree with you, Sean. I think that was just revenge from missing the puss. He just never. I wouldn't say fully recovered, but you know, it's a situation where even getting her back, it was all in revenge because he thought she was still in cahoots with him. You know, so he just wanted to take everybody down that associated with James St. Patrick. You know, the second part that I would say is that was a flaw to me was. I don't know about you guys. Didn't you think Milan died way too easily?
Oh my goodness, did he ever?
Oh gosh, like this guy throughout the show showed just how far his tentacle reaches. You know, he sees everything. After being robbed of his supply in season 2, instead of retaliating, this guy gets infiltrated almost in every part of Ghost's life, including the Truth nightclub. Everything he does, he's watching and waiting. The guy shows up unannounced, for God's sakes, at Tasha's apartment, eating dinner with the kids. So after all that, all of a sudden, he gets a gun put to him by Ghost in the middle of the club, and that's it? He just gets shot in the warehouse?
I know.
No, but Tom, you forget that the whole fake murder of his girlfriend sneaking into his office, that was phenomenal. That, you know, he thought this girl was missing, and in actuality, she's still alive in the whole nine.
Right.
Like, Milan thought this guy was, like, half human and half Satan. The way that he was just wiggling through things, and then, yeah, for him to die so easily, like, in the back of his club, he died the same way, like, in the premiere of Power, when they killed off that corner boy in the first episode. Like, he was, like, in the exact same spot.
That's true. And you know what the funny thing is, though? Remember Tommy was, like, acting like he had this diabolical plan, right?
Right.
Now, the diabolical plan was to put guns to the bodyguards so they can't react, and then, like you said, put a gun to Milan and take him out of the club and shoot him.
But don't forget that whole guns to the bodyguard. That was all a facade.
No, I agreed. But hold on, they could have really done that the day after Milan came out of the woodwork.
As I said, it was. I thought the whole thing that he was gonna die through some trickery with the cigarettes.
Exactly. What was the point of the cigarettes then? That's a good point. What was the point of the cigarettes in that case?
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I guess he had assets in that. And then on top of that point, after Ghost signs the deal with the hotel chain to possibly open his clubs to multiple hotels across the country and possibly the world, after signing your name on the dotted line, you go and pull a gun on somebody who looks like security detail right there in the open. Like, the ink isn't even dry yet.
I know, it's true.
Like, that part annoyed the hell out of me. It was so easy. It was just too easy. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, are you serious? I'm looking at the timer on my box, and I see, like, it's 48 minutes. So I know there's only, like, 10 minutes left. So I'm like, oh, I guess he's going to die now. But that part kind of, I just thought that was way too easy. For a guy that was so systematic and trying to take over Ghost's world, he gets taken down that easy, and by Tommy of all people. I just thought it was weird.
You know what? We're talking about the season's finale of Power so negatively, even though it wasn't that good, because the show at all has been solid, in my opinion. But
yeah, and definitely, and we'll definitely get to that.
Yo, on top of that, it was that easy to turn Milan's whole organization against him? Tommy just said, hey, by the way, I know we treat you like shit, so let's go against them. And he convinced all of Milan's whole organization to go against them. Why? What was their motive? I don't understand what convinced them. And that's one. And two, what made Tommy think that the guy was that trustworthy to begin with, that he could turn him against them and that won't backfire him?
Well, yeah, I guess the part where he's like, well, you know, I just come in for a few weeks and I'm number two now. Like, how do you feel about that? let's take him down. Okay.
And then all of his henchmen just follow suit.
Yo, you know what? The thing is, we ripped that. That scenario is plausible. It's just that if that was what you're going to do, I felt like they needed to build that up for a few episodes. It was too quick for that to be such a turning point for them to do that over, like, basically, like, a couple minutes. Like, that can happen. Don't say that doesn't happen in the underworld more often than not.
Maybe it one guy, just, but all the henchmen, like you said,
no, but that's overwhelming. That's what I'm trying to say. That was something, if that was going to be really an avenue, they should have played that over a few episodes.
Or at least one episode.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So that I agree. But also at the same time, that's a ballsy move for Tommy to do. Because if the guy's like, you know what? I think I'm going to ride with Milan. There'll be body parts of Tommy in like five different states.
Yeah, because that's an easy way for the guy to get favor back with Milan. Like, hey, you know what? You touched.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's what like, he's trying to do. Work, but that needed to be massaged a whole lot more than it was.
To me, for me, Milan was probably my favorite character. Just the way he popped up. Like, I thought that was awesome. But like I said, just the way he went down, I'm like, it was too quick. I would have liked to. It's funny. I would have liked to see him at least last another season before at least he got taken down, you know.
True.
And then my third point was, I know this has to do with, I guess, circumstances of anger, you know, with the breakup and stuff. But I thought Angela was also an idiot too. Does it really make sense to arrest a guy that can possibly start talking to ruin your career, you know, that you so cherish? Like, look how easy he made shit disappear in the last 2-3 years, just to benefit you. You really gonna turn on that guy?
I know, seriously. And with what evidence? A fingerprint on a window? That's your evidence?
Yeah, that's pretty big evidence, dude.
That's not big evidence.
Fingerprint isn't. You think so? What other reason? No, think of it. Without us seeing how the episode developed, what other reason would there be fingerprints on the outside of Greg's window by the fire escape?
I'll tell you. Angela's okay, so. My ex. She started smashing Greg. I suspected it. I went in there. I broke in and found her black bra. You could, and that's even justified. That even will be confirmed by the FBI or whatever that lady was. I thought that they were smashing. I was jealous, so I went, and that's the extent of it. I stalked them. Prove I killed them.
Yeah, fresh prints on a window where the guy just got murdered. And then they talk about how his windows was open when obviously he dropped whatever device he had to close it back. I mean, I see where they're going with that. I agree with what Calvin's saying. It seems it seems real quick for her to go that, to take that move where, I mean, this guy can literally shatter her life. But also you have to think about it. It's a woman, it's emotions, they're riding on an emotion. So I can see her making that move and not thinking about it, and I can also see where she might think he did it.
I can see
of
that.
Of all the points you guys talked about, that point to me seems pretty on.
Case though. Like, honestly speaking,
yeah. I mean, circumstantial. Of course, it's weak. I mean, it's not like they have a confession tape.
That's weak. They could have orchestrated it differently so that there was maybe a little twist of something else that was kind of could be used as evidence that Ghost did it. But again, fingerprint on a window when you were smashing her and she was smashing him? Oh, man, okay.
That's probably what's going to come out in season 4. Like,
With a decent lawyer, you're skating on that.
You need to have some kind of hangover, some kind of twist, or some kind, you know, to get people holding on to the next season. That clearly that's what it was.
Yeah, and of course, as you said, like it was a love triangle. Why even open yourself to that? And the reason why I say that is because when she shows up to Greg's apartment and she sees that he's dead, like, she didn't have any emotional breakdown. She was just like, what's happening here? Like, why is he dead? You know? And she's like, oh, St. Patrick, and that's it. Like, she never showed any emotion for Greg dying, so she didn't really give a shit about Greg really that much. So to go to that length, you know what I mean? To go and take down Ghost, I mean, I just find that weird. And then on top of that, with Ghost, you know, when Ghost came out of the apartment, and I saw him put his handprint. When I saw him show his hand and it looked like he put his handprint on the glass, I turned to the wife and I said, yep, they're going to get him for that. That's gonna come back. Like I was like, that's too easy.
As soon as he dropped the device or whatever he had in his hand and he left, you're like, obviously, this little botch wasn't put for no reason.
Right. No, of course.
Gonna come from it. But yo, to say that she had no, I mean, she was in shock, and to say that she didn't give a shit about Greg, I mean, come on, I think you guys are going a little far, saying that she didn't care anything about the dude.
But on a
side note, yo, them sex scenes that she's in, this shit almost looked too real, man. Like, I was telling these guys on another time, I was like, yo, it would be hard to really date and watch this and be like, man.
Yep, that's my woman.
Most spots better than I do, man, from these scenes. Jeez.
But the thing is, though, they could have got a sexier girl. Like, Angela got a body of a 12-year-old, man.
Yeah, true. I said the same thing. I was like, man,
and on top of that, then not even like
these scenes just look like raisins. But hey, well, you know, a lot of some people.
Well, you know what? I was gonna ask this question later, but I guess I'll ask you now. Who would you prefer, Tasha or Angela?
Oh my gosh, give me Tasha any day. You could give me Tasha any day, man. Tasha could wake up in the morning and stand next to Angela all made up, and I'd be like, Angela, get out the way, man.
Yeah, and you know,
Angela looks better with clothes on. Tasha looks better naked.
but you know, the funny thing is with the two of them, like, I kind of agree with you, Sean. Like, it sounds harsh to say, but when you look at Tasha, right, like. You know, everybody's different in terms of what you like, in terms of, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, you're looking for, I guess, a side piece in this thing, or you find like your long lost love. But if your long lost love isn't looking as hot as your wife, I'm like, man, yeah, you know what? It was a good time we had once upon a time. All right, take care. I'll see you later. You know, nice to see you. And that would be the end of it.
That's where you're wrong, Calvin. if Angela was just a side piece where there was no history, it would make no sense.
No, that's what I said. It's a long lost love. It was a long lost love.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The fact that there's history built, then there's the plausibility, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's a long lost love. Yeah, it's a long lost love. But I'm saying even if it's a long lost love and you see that girl that you had from back in the day and you had that history with, but you come back and you see her and she's nowhere near as hot as your wife. You're not going to be like, man, I want to see what this is like again. More often than not, you know what I mean? You're going to be like, all right, well, you know, those were good times. Take care. You know?
That's where I disagree with you.
I don't know.
If it's really, truly a lot of... I'm not saying that, he's supposed to dip on his wife. But I'm saying if that really is a long-lost love, it's bigger than that. You know what I mean?
You're right. I see your point. I mean,
yeah.
Speaking of girls, what the hell happened to Lakeisha?
Sean, go ahead.
Like, all of a sudden, Lakeisha's missing, right, I guess. But, and they tease it, because after she saw Tasha and Milan, they're like, Lakeisha saw, Milan's going to get rid of her. And then all of a sudden, you never hear nothing about it again. They don't even hint it before the end of the
last episode. Finale. Yeah, I know, I agree. I think that's one of the biggest questions I had for season three as well, is just, do we know for sure she's even dead? Like, they couldn't even at least show her body, where she went. I think she might still be alive, just because if she was dead, I think by the next episode, they would have showed her body or something.
And I mean, let's be honest. I think Lala got like one good nude scene in her still. Come on. If Carmelo Anthony's wife is willing to get naked, you got to exploit that one more time before you kill her off, man.
You know, it's almost, watching this, it's almost like the writers forgot to add her back in. You know, so it's like after they're done filming the last episode, one of them was like, ah, shit, we forgot to add Lakeisha. Like, fuck, Lala's going to be pissed. You know, like, that's what it felt like. It's just, that's what they probably just threw that line in, where Tasha's like, damn it, where's Keisha? And that was the end of it. But I don't know. I'm thinking she might still be alive, just because, again, like, nobody even discussed it.
We talked about them trying to turn everything in a nice little bowl and clean up all the loose ends. I like the fact that they left some ends open, because that's what you need to have. So the fact that they didn't really say where she is or whatever the case, that doesn't really bother me. That just feels, that's something to look at in season four. Like,
no, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I mean, just, I find that the way they did it was poor, because you could have cliffhangers,
but at least make it a cliffhanger, not a mention. Because let's be honest, if you went to go get a glass of water when she said, "Where's Lakeisha?" you have no idea Lakeisha's missing. You have no clue.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you never see, like, it's not like she's like a constant fixture.
Okay, so you don't have an issue with the fact that they left it open. It's just how they left it open.
Yeah, it was
okay. All right, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it was poorly executed. And just to use your analogy, Sean, if you went to use the washroom when Tommy came into her shop, then you'd be like, "Yo, what happened to Lakeisha?" You know, you exactly. you wouldn't even know. Like, they never revisited again after that. Like,
exactly.
you know, they didn't show her tied up or somewhere. You know what I mean? Being kidnapped, like something. Like, there's something to at least say, okay, well, you know what? Something happened to her.
Actually, you know what? Tommy went into the shop. You reminded me that I completely forgot that.
Huh? Yeah. Like, it's just like that. Like I said, it happened so quick. That was it.
You know what? I like what they do nowadays, where they say, and I've seen a few shows do this, where they say about what happened last. They don't just recite what happened last episode. They give you like a preview, a recap of what happened in the season, so you can follow what's happening in the next episode. Because sometimes there'll be things that they're picking up from seasons, sometimes even seasons past, but definitely episodes past, so you know you get kind of a catch up. I was like, oh yeah, I see where that loose end's coming from.
Yeah.
Because and to tell you the truth, when Greg got that call from the Federales and they said that they didn't have a leak, I was like, what's this about again? And then he did that kind of realization in his head how Mike had said that there was a leak and all that stuff. Then I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So I like the fact that they put that in there, so it's easy. It makes it easy for the audience to kind of like retain what the storyline is.
But now that you reminded me of that, Calvin, with Tommy, I mean, unless Tommy went in there for Lakeisha to give him a manicure, I think it's safe to say that Lakeisha's probably at the bottom of the ocean, at the bottom of the river somewhere.
I mean, I would think so, but at least, I don't know. I guess for me, I kind of wanted to see.
Not really.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sean, but I just think that I wanted to see at least some finality there. You know what I mean? In that aspect. But like I said, who knows? I think she might maybe still be alive. I don't know. They just left it open-ended.
I thought at first that she might have been dead, but now knowing, because at first you really didn't know where Tommy's head was at. You really thought that this guy was starting to feel Milan. So then you thought maybe he did Milan's dirty work. But then with the whole switch where he was playing nice to get up to him close to kind of, I guess, to finally turn on him, then maybe he went to go talk to her and tell her to be quiet. Who knows? And nowadays, you know what I mean? See, like, even with Lobos, it was the same thing. Like, it made it sound like he was getting close to maybe join that cartel, and then in actuality, he really was staying loyal to Ghost.
Yeah, true.
I guess so, but I think, though, too many circumstances, though, Headley, happened for Tommy to start coming up with the plan to kill Milan. The stuff that happened with Lakeisha in terms of him walking into the store, I don't think he had a plan that far ahead in time. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he kind of devised that plan after he figured that Ghost was, you know, like, he couldn't trust Ghost anymore. And that's why he killed Ruiz, and then he started coming up with that plan. I think that plan came after whatever he did to Keisha.
Yeah, that's possible too.
So I think there's that scenario. But I'll ask you guys this as well. What were your thoughts on the season overall? Like, what were, like, the big points and things that caught your eye this season?
I already mentioned it. The Holly murder, yo.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a long time coming, boy.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you hate Holly and how happy were you to see her go? Me, I would say it was probably a 14.
Yeah, yo,
I couldn't stand her. Yo, she needed, you know, everything. As one of my boys said, as soon as she touched that check when she was giving him the head, I was like, yo, this bitch gotta go. Gotta go.
There were so
and
many.
I don't mean put on a bus to Cleveland like last time. I was like, this bitch gotta go.
Yeah, man. There were so many, like, when she stole Tasha's jewelry and shit like that. And this girl was just a scumbag to the nth degree.
From day one. And you know, she was gonna, as soon as Tasha showed her the book, she was gonna off Tasha too.
Good point. That plan was in the works. You saw it on her conniving face.
Yeah.
Like, Tasha, like, oh, like, you're my next victim.
Yo, Twitter exploded that night when she died, man. The amount of memes I saw, people dancing and celebrating, You know, when Holly got murdered, it was, it's funny. There was like a united front. I don't know one person that liked Holly. Like, she was just universally hated.
It's true.
Yo, who would like Holly? Anyone who likes Holly is a bitch. That means they the same way. Straight up. Yo, she played her character to the T. I'll give her that. She's a great actress. She needs to get more work.
Yo, I tell you what. My level of hate for her, it kind of matches my level of disgust for Ghost's stupid son.
Oh,
like, that
yeah.
guy is the baby. Like, that boy needs a cut ass, boy. He needs someone to cut his ass. He's the stupidest. Hanging out with a stranger who's so clearly not the kind of guy you should be hanging out with.
And not just that, you're hanging with your father's friend or your father's assistant. And then when Kanan shows up on the basketball court, you can see the look on Dre's face, like, I don't want you near this kid. You know what I mean? So you look at that and it's like, I'm interested. I kind of want to find out more about you. You know,
exactly.
I agree with that. I like the dynamic that Kanan's kind of flipped, you know, to try to take over Ghost's son, like Ghost, you know, took over Kanan's son, I guess, you know, when he went to jail. But, I like the dynamic of that, you know, but at the same time, that boy does need some licks. I agree with
you. I call it, you thought Ghost, when he talked about his side piece bitch, and when Ghost draped him up, yo, if this wasn't made for TV, you know that was going down a whole different way. You know what I mean? He was going to get an ass licking. But at the same time, on trying to be like a little bit, I guess, a little bit heavy, is it really shows how divorce can really fuck up a kid, especially an adolescent and like in teenage years.
Yeah.
Because
as much as we talk about like that, he deserves to beat it, but you can tell he's in a lot of, he's in pain.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Over the breakup of his marriage of his parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that realism there, and I agree with Calvin. Like, yo, I've been impressed with 50. 50's playing a thug, so I guess, I mean, how much of a reach is he really going into his inner self to do this character? But hey, he's playing the character well. I give him that much.
Yeah, cool. I definitely agree with that. And you touch on a good point when it comes of just the breakup of a family and stuff, because you can see not just the pain, but it's just, I guess, looking in his eyes, everything is all good. And all of a sudden, you know, his father's gone. All of a sudden, you know, we're having dinner with this Spanish lady, and now you're throwing me up against the wall, you know, when I'm trying to talk about her. So it leaves you kind of wandering, I guess, in the distance. You know what I mean? So now I'll ask this question as well. Who should Dre's loyalty be to? Should it be the Kanan or should it be the Ghost? Sean, I'll start with you with that.
First of all, Dre's another one that I look at and I'm like, man, what happened to you? Like, last year, he was a young gunner. He was ambitious. He was a gangster. This year, you're trying to go the corporate route, but you still got so much hood in you that you want Ghost. Let me know. Let me know when you want me to do some dirt. Then a perfect opportunity to do some dirt comes where Kanan, who's a mortal man like you, comes to your house and threatens a kid. And then you're like, okay, don't worry about it, Kanan. I'll get in line. And the next time you see him, you don't off him. You just let him walk around. Not like Kanan is Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
If you're a G, the guy came and threatened your kid, and then you basically just go, cool, let him walk around, know where my kid lives, and letting this threat exist. That doesn't even make any sense to me at all.
Yo, I'll go one step further with that, Calvin. I mean, Sean. This dude still rides with a whole bunch of hood boys.
Exactly.
Kanan walks the street like he's a one-man show. Even if he didn't want to do it himself, like, you mean you can't make a call?
Yeah, man.
That you get that done?
Exactly. That makes no sense at all, man.
But yeah. I have to admit, now, like, it's a precarious situation, because obviously that's going to come out that Greg knew this all along. So it's like, yo, what is Ghost going to do?
Yeah, you know, cause he let that ride, you know. And I mean, I don't know if you knew that that him and that Ghost and Kanan had a war to the death at the end, you know, like last year or whatever, at the end of season 2. I don't know if his character necessarily knew that per se, but I mean, but you,
yeah,
but you, but you,
knew
you
that he
but,
was dead.
No, exactly. But now that you know that he popped up and now he's showing up at your son's school, I mean, I don't know if you and Ghost are that tight. I mean, do you mention that to Ghost? Do you say to Ghost, hey, well, you know what, I seen the other day. I seen Kanan.
You can, because he's dangling his kid's safety over his head. So that's the only reason why Dre is going along with the program. But like we said, that's retired. That ain't so sense in the first. Like, I'm not even a gangster. If 50 did that to me, I'd be like, I'd call you Calvin Headley. I know we never killed anybody, but we may have to make an exception in this case. This guy threatened to kill my kid. You know? So you're telling me this guy is a G, rolling with a crew of young kids who just came in the club with guns and put them to the Serbian, whatever.
Yeah, to one of the most notorious, I guess, you know, drug lords in New York City.
Yeah,
but
they can't off this one dude.
So let me ask this, I guess it's a couple of final questions before we come off the stoop here. So what is your thoughts overall on just the show itself? Like, just in terms of how it's progressed, you know, from season one to season three, do you think this season's the best season out of the three? You know, I'll start with you, Headley.
Well, I'll say this much, and I kind of said it already before. Up until the progression to about midway, three quarters of the way into season three, I was giving my hats off to the season with the Holly murder, and then when Holly was planning Ghost's murder, well, I thought this guy was dead in the water, and then Milan came in and gunned the guys off. I did not see that coming anywhere. I thought this season was, I don't know if this season was the best, because it kind of, as we talked about, toward the end of it and definitely the finale kind of wasn't as strong as I would like. But the apex definitely happened in season three. And I'll go as much as to say that when it comes to drug shows, there was The Wire that everybody was really like into, and that was like the drug show that everybody was kind of watching. And then it transitioned to Breaking Bad, which was a drug show again, but completely on a different kind of perspective. Now, Power is that next drug movie on another level, on a third different angle, where I think people are really starting to come around and giving it its due diligence, or it's giving it its credit that it should be due.
Hold on, time out, sorry. Did you just say Breaking Bad?
Yeah, you didn't like Breaking Bad?
I love Breaking Bad. I'm sorry, Power is not even in the same universe as Breaking Bad.
No, but I'm talking, okay, tell me of another drug show right now that people is talking about.
Narcos.
Narcos?
Narcos kills this too.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, you might have got me there. Might have got me there.
What were your thoughts, Sean?
Personally, man, I found that Power, it kind of has deteriorated each season. I thought season three was the most boring season, man. Every episode I was like, man, is something going to happen that I'm going to care about? Holly, her dying, don't get me wrong, that was marvelous. But even, okay, the Lobos' death, even that, it was so underwhelming. Like, this is the guy that was a thorn in their ass for the whole friggin' series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they take him in the field. They botch the whole situation. He runs away. They find him and they kill him. Okay, it could have been a little snazzier than that. Whatever. And then, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Milan's like, hey, by the way, I'm Kaiser Soze. Like, wow, okay, that was out of the blue. It was cool. It was a cool spin on it, but then even then, I found the writing was just like, they had decent ideas, but the writing around it just made it seem monotonous. Even with Milan, all that kept on happening was like, Milan was like, don't forget, I'm the boss, and they'd be like, oh, fuck it, okay, don't forget, I'm the boss. Like, it just that was a dynamic. Ghost was like, oh man, I can't believe this is, I'm in this situation. We gotta get out of this. Milan, don't do anything funny. I'm the boss. And it kept on, I don't know, like, I just didn't find it riveting personally. I don't know, like, there's certain shows you watch and there's just so many layers and so many dimensions. And I think that Power is trying to do that with all of the different plots and subplots they have going on.
but it's kind of like a soap opera where you have different plots and subplots, but they just continue with no change. And then all of a sudden, like you said, they don't know how to resolve it. So, okay, shoot them. All that to say, I don't know. It's all right. Personally, I don't think it has too many seasons left in it. Like, aside from, they don't dig deep enough in the characters like a Breaking Bad or whatnot. Like, if Breaking Bad was really all about, had the same level of a lack of complexity with their storyline as this, it couldn't have lasted as long as it did, man. Mm-hmm. And kept your attention as long as it did.
No. Would you be watching season four of this?
Well, because I'm invested, like me, that's how I am. Like, you know, Walking Dead has bored me for the past three seasons. But once I invest in a show, I'll watch it. Same thing with Game of Thrones. Okay, I'll watch it. But, I mean, so I'll watch season four, but it's not like I don't rate it so far as when you compare it to The Wire. Nah, I don't think it compares to The Wire.
Well, to me, this season, I don't know. Me at least has talked about it offline, but I think this season to me has been the best season. I thought season one was, if I have to rank them, I'd rank them season three, season one, and then season two. I think season two kind of lost me because just the dynamic with Ghost and Angela, like just, you know, just the back and forth, all the love scenes and stuff. After a while, it was kind of like, I don't know if anybody watches Scandal, but it's almost like, you know, watching the president.
It was Scandal, but I see what you're talking about.
But yeah, it was that same kind of element, like the president and Olivia Pope. Like after a while, you're just like, oh, okay, all right, already, you know? So I think season two kind of had me on a little bit of shaky ground, but I thought season three was really good. Now, in terms of Lobos, yeah, you're right. He was, you know, such a integral part of the series in terms of that, you know, that overlord that's in the corner there, that's overseeing everything. Don't mess this up because that guy's coming for you. And then he finally goes away, and now here comes Milan. So that's why I said earlier, I thought Milan could have been something that could have been extended to at least another season. And that, you know, like that dynamic just, it didn't get explored deep enough to me. Going forward to season four, I'm wondering what's going to happen now, because now the way they left it, it's like, okay, now Tommy's the overlord now, you know, so.
That part's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and even though that is, I think where it will get interesting is if he starts to go after Ghost. Like, I think that, to me, that's the twist. Like, you know, like that bond is forever broken, and now he's going to go after Ghost. And what does Ghost do with Tommy and all these guys, you know, and his back is against the wall, literally. Or sorry, get arrested because of the situation with being accused of shooting Greg Knox. So, you know, like, where does it go from here? Like, so I think that dynamic would be really cool going forward to season four. But I don't know where you go from here. Well, I guess the whole part of Kanan too, and Tariq.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? You know why I found season three boring? Because, okay, think about it. Season one, right? What happened? There was all kind of wars between Ghost and all kind of people, and, you know, there was action, right? When I say action, I don't necessarily just mean, you know, violent action, but a lot happened. But in season three, after Milan revealed himself, literally, what happened? Nothing happened. He just told Ghost, by the way, I run things, get out of line, and you're dead. He seduced Tommy, and that's all. Nothing happened.
He ate a couple of people.
Yeah, but that must have been, you know, awful in another scene. We didn't get to see that. But, so that's the thing. Like, it'd be different if you say, oh, when, you know, when Milan did this, Ghost tried to do that, and then because of that, Milan killed his friend or whatever. But nothing happened. What happened when Milan revealed himself? Nothing. Maybe if they...
That's the reason why... Oh, go ahead.
Like Calvin said, if they extended it maybe to season four... And actually something could have happened, something, you know, some interesting plot twist or make you wonder. Nothing at all had you at the edge of your seat with this whole Milan situation. Nothing at all.
If that's the reason why I said the apex definitely happened in season three, but how season three ended, it ended on a low note, because once they got, like, how many episodes was it? 10 episodes?
Yeah, it's 10 episodes.
So, I can't remember when Holly got offed and all this stuff, and when Milan revealed himself, but to me, it felt like that was, like, halfway into the season, And it felt like there was this build-up, and then as Sean said, it got, the storyline got kind of dud, got kind of dry, and it didn't progress where it could have been a killer ending to a season, but it wasn't there. But the apex, in terms of just, like, I guess where it could have went and what they're trying to build, you saw that come to fruition in the season. It's just that, you know, you talk about, I'll use an analogy with runners, where you peak at the wrong part of the season, so you end up winning, getting your best time when you're doing the Diamond Leagues, but when it really counts at the end of the season, when it's like the World Championships, you're gassed out.
Right.
This was a Sapo Powell wrapped up in season 3, where he's running the best times of his life in like episode 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And then come episode 10, he can't even break 10 seconds.
He's in fourth place.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's kind of what happened with this season. And let me be clear, I never said that Power was better than The Wire and Breaking Bad.
You just saying
I was just comparing to like what's drug show that everybody's kind of tuning into. But then you guys reminded me. Like I actually watched the first season of Narcos, but I haven't watched the second one yet. But from what everybody's telling me, the second season is like off the chain. So
super dope.
But that's the point, though. Like you're just saying, it's following in the same vein in terms of those type of shows. But all in all, like I think that that 50 Cent is, I'm actually impressed with what he's doing in terms of stepping out of his rap career and doing something a little different like this. You know, where he's executive producing a successful show. You can actually rank this as one of the better shows on television, to be honest. You know, even though it only comes on in the summertime, you know, when it's like a slow period, but still, it's, you know, it's still entertaining enough that it keeps you locked in.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
way
yeah.
better than what's that other show called with Terrence Howard?
Oh, like Empire.
Empire, my God.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, tell you the truth, I don't even watch Empire no more.
Yeah.
I just stopped watching it after episode 1.
But episode 1? Or season 1?
Season 1. No, episode 1. I'm like, hey.
Oh, for real?
Well,
Hassani loves it. He tells me, oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened. And he tells me, I'm like, Hassani, that would never happen in a real record label.
It
doesn't make any sense, man.
Well, I compare Empire to, I compare it to like a Black Falcon Crest, like, or Dynasty, or Knots Landing. Like, I think it's like that to me. Like, I don't look at it.
Not for real.
Like it's a good show, but I'm like, I look at it like that. Like, I know some people look at it and they get pissed off. Like, this wouldn't happen, that this wouldn't happen. And I'm like, well, if you look at it in this aspect, then it's like, you would enjoy it a little better, I suppose.
But it's too far-fetched.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, they got everything in it, man.
Yeah. No.
They've tried everything.
No,
and to touch on what you said to Calvin about Scandal, only reason I stopped watching Scandal is that I got tired of the whole Olivia Pope and the president romance.
Yeah.
I got tired. I was like, I can't watch this crap anymore. It was like, I was watching a soap opera. I was like, and it to a point, I was like, yo, have some self-decency and respect for yourself after a while. I was like, how many times can a guy screw you over and you just bend over like it's nothing?
Yeah.
I was like, man, I can't take this no more.
Just to wrap up now, like, what do you guys think might happen now in season 4 in terms of, do you guys think any predictions? Do you have any, like, wild predictions, anything like that before the season ends? Or, sorry, before, for season 4?
I think the whole, I think that they set it up for some good storylines. I just hope that they do it the proper way. But the whole Kanan and having his kid for ransom, that could be interesting. Hopefully they don't just drag it on and then just give him back at the end. Mm-hmm. But that, and then plus the whole Tommy Kingpin angle, they have some potential with that to do it the proper way. It could be good.
Yeah, for sure. Same thing. I mean, and you see the same way how they develop, like, this whole thing with Kanan, they built it for a whole season. Like, him coming from the dead, basically, him getting rehabbed over in D.C. by his cousin and the whole nine. Like, that whole subplot has been kind of brewing for the whole season, and now it's about to pop off in season 4.
Yeah.
Very
you're just hoping yeah. like as Sean said, like the whole thing with Milan, you felt like that could have been held longer.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that they don't, now that they've got you on the edge of your seat now on what's going to happen between when Kanan and Ghost finally come to heads with each other. You just hope that they don't try to, as they did in the season finale, they try to wrap it up so quickly. The whole thing, like even with Greg, Greg was pressing on this so much, and then for him to be off in the way that he is, that he did, I just hope that they learned from that. And I don't know what the criticism is in social media, if they're saying the same thing that we are. I just hope that they do that plot better.
Actually, yeah. You know what? You hit the nail on the head when you said you spoke about how the subplot is the development of the whole 50 Cent or the Kanan character this episode. Like,
yes.
That is what you want to see. They really, really showed his character, his evolution, or not even his evolution, just basically, evolution is the only word I can think of at this point, but they showed that. The
recovery.
You know, how he was a broken man at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, the recovery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was broken. His spirit and his body was broken. And they showed how he came out of that. And they showed, the development of that. And that's kind of what you want from the whole Milan. Like you guys said, the potential there was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
they did nothing with it.
They just let it ride.
And we say that with the whole thing with that, but they have the potential to do that with Tommy. Like, Tommy always has been seen like as a hothead. You know what I mean? He just really just goes on emotion.
Yeah.
This plotting of the whole Milan thing is the first time that he's really done anything that's thought-provoking. You're just hoping that maybe that they show him building that into more of a leader as opposed to a follower in season 4. I just hope that, as you said, one of the things that we loved about Breaking Bad is it was the character building. Let's hope that they do a little bit more character building in the next season, specifically with Tommy and with Kanan, and how this thing's gonna pop off.
Just to finish out, Tommy's a hothead. I wonder if there's gonna be like a Tony Montana Scarface dynamic to him. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, I mean, can't you see Tommy in a face full of powder, at a certain point in next season, just because he's just overcome with the power?
Possible, yeah.
You can see him totally flipping his wig, just totally losing it on just being drunk on power. Like, he's no longer a number two. Now he's a number one guy. Like, how does he handle it? So I think that and the Kanan aspect of it, in terms of now that he's basically recovered and now he's got this plan to take down Ghost. Like, what's, like, I think those are the two strongest plots, as what is Ghost going to do for next season? Like, what is he going to do now? So
and
I think those are the three biggest stories.
What's happening with Dre? Because that type of betrayal, something has, they can't let that thing just wash away like they did with Lakeisha. Thing has to be addressed about what Dre did and did not do. Yeah. If they don't address that whatsoever, to me, that they lost something there.
Yeah, it loses the essence of the show that way, because it's not consistent.
Yeah, because that would, if you want to act like this is street, that cannot happen and not have some kind of consequences. I'm not necessarily saying that he needs to be off the show, but something got to, you can't just let that, you can't just not address it.
All right, fellas, thanks for being on the stoop today. You guys get any, you guys want anything else to drink? Anything else? You guys are good?
No, I know you're going to probably pop off a Joe CD right now.
I'm going to definitely edit that part out of the podcast. Anyways, thanks once again, fellas, for coming on the stoop today talking about power.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
Thanks for having me, man.
Once again, I'd like to thank Sean and Headley for coming out here on the stoop today to talk about power. And speaking of finales, we got one more episode left for season 1 of The Stoop, a mini podcast series that's lasted throughout the summer. But it's fall now, and shit, it's getting kind of chilly on The Stoop. There's only so long you can wear sweaters and jogging pants out here until the weather dips. The good news is, the AV podcast will be back up and running later this month. and we'll have a basketball week on the Ave, which will be featuring a week of podcasts and blog writers before the NBA season starts off. So make sure you look out for that. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to South Shore Ave for your latest podcasts and blog write-ups. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. For Sean and Headley, this is Cal C, and this is The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. Make sure you tune into the season finale coming up within the next day or so. Until then, peace.
Yeah, I just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.